Support for NPR comes from PBS, presenting Nature's American Eagle, a journey into the world of our national symbol, tonight at 8, 7 Central on PBS.
And at 8:04, here are your news headlines. Chief Illiniwek was retired early last year, but he danced again yesterday at the University of Illinois. The independent group Students for Chief Illiniwek rented Assembly Hall for an event attended by about 9,000 people. The event included a performance by Logan Ponce, a student chosen to be a sort of chief-in-waiting in case the university ever reinstates the mascot. Protesters stood outside the arena carrying signs that said, "People are not mascots. Respect all people." Illinois stopped using Chief Illiniwek in February 2007 after years of pressure by American Indians and others who saw the mascot as a demeaning caricature. The NCAA also levied sanctions against the school. The university has said the school has nothing to do with yesterday's performance. Regulators who license attorneys are worried that a slump in the economy may mean a spike in their workload. Robert Wildebohr explains.
Jim Grogan is with the commission that registers and disciplines lawyers in Illinois. He says in the years after the recession in the early 1980s, complaints against lawyers rose 43%. Grogan thinks it's because when times are tough, lawyers, like everyone else, have to start hustling to get work.
And they'll decide, well, you know, there's a lot of immigrants out there. Maybe I'll take an immigration case, or, you know, lots of people die. Maybe I'll handle a probate matter, even though all I've done in my life is residential real estate closing.
Grogan says attorneys will take cases that they're not prepared to handle. Not surprisingly, they often fail, and the complaints soon follow. Grogan says clients should check to make sure that their attorneys have experience that's relevant to their case. I'm Robert Wildebohr.
Wildlife biologists are counting acorns and salamanders and following rattlesnakes to their hibernation nooks at two Indiana parks for a wide-ranging study. The research will span 100 years and will examine the connection between trees and wildlife. And at 7:06, it's 30 degrees outside our studios on Friends Plaza.
From NPR News, this is Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen. World leaders who met at an economic summit in Washington this weekend agreed to work together to battle the global financial crisis. This is what President Bush had to say after the summit on Saturday.
And so it makes sense to come out of here with a firm action plan, which we have. It also makes sense to say to people that there is more work to be done and there will be further meetings.
Joining us to discuss the summit is David McCormick, the U.S. Treasury Department's Undersecretary for International Affairs. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
What's your take on the summit? Did it really accomplish anything?
Well, I think it did. You know, if you would have thought back 3 weeks ago and imagined 20 countries at different stages, having never met before at the leaders level to talk about the economic challenges, I think the outcome surpassed many, many expectations. There were three big things that came out of it. The first was a very specific set of actions that the countries committed to try to address the current crisis. The second was a very ambitious reform agenda with some very specific things that need to be done in the next several months in terms of reforming our global financial system. And the third thing, perhaps most important, was a commitment among these countries to ensure that we don't turn inward, that given the anxiety that many individuals, many countries, publics are feeling over the crisis, that we don't cut back on trade and investment that have been the key drivers of global economic growth over the last decade.
What do you say to skeptics who suggest that this was just window dressing, that the United States and Europe are going to decide what reforms are needed and the rest of the world will follow?
Well, I'd say two things. First, you know, President Bush, in deciding to take this summit idea forward, absolutely was committed to ensuring that the emerging markets and key developing countries were included. Those countries together account for more than 80% of the global economy, and without them in the room, it's simply not credible. And the president recognized that and felt like it was absolutely critical. The second thing I'd say is look at the outcome. Read the declaration. There are very specific, very concrete action steps that these 20 countries have committed to. Many of the actions have been shaped by the input of these major emerging markets.